I have truly been blessed today by the wonderful efforts and talents of my schoolmates and classmates. I would like to thank Mrs. Bergenhall and Ms. Navarra for choosing me to speak today. I would also like to thank my family for their support, and Pastor Clark and my dad for allowing today to happen. It is never an easy task to stand before God's people on behalf of God. So please would you stand with me as I begin to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to be able to minister to Downsview. I pray that you help us to have service. And if there's anything else I fail to ask, I pray that you will not fail to grant. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. Grace is one of the most powerful concepts in the Bible. The grace of God is his unmerited, freely given favor, love, and assistance towards humanity entirely unearned by human efforts. It represents God's generous divine intervention to save, sanctify, and empower individuals through Jesus Christ. It offers forgiveness and strength to the righteous to live a righteous life. Excellence is what we should all strive to achieve in all we do, especially when we represent Jesus. However, excellence is not something we can achieve on our own. I believe that the only way we can truly achieve excellence is by the grace of God. Just look at Jonah. He was a man who lived in a time when everybody was doing their own thing. And God sent him to a place called Nineveh. This was no ordinary city. Nineveh was known for its people being ruthless. They would kill unjustly with no remorse or consequence. Lawlessness seemed to be the flavor of the day. And if they didn't like what you did, or even what you had to say, they would take you out. No, Nineveh was not a place you would choose to go for your family vacations. It was not a place where good Christian people would choose to go. So why did God send Jonah there? I mean, of all people in the whole world, why send someone who doesn't belong to that place? Besides, Jonah didn't even want to go in the first place. You see, God doesn't send us where we want to go. He doesn't choose the most comfortable situations for us to minister in. And I can just hear my parents' voice now. Not everything you want is good for you. Amen. The truth of the matter is, like Jonah, like many people in his time, wrote off the whole city of Nineveh. He believed that the whole place and its people are a lost cause. Nothing good comes from that place. What Jonah didn't realize, and like we often forget, is the darker the room, the brighter and more effective the light can shine. So after God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, he said, "I can't go there. Those people are too scary and too rude." And so he ran away, or at least he tried to run away, because nobody can truly run away from God. But he tried, and he failed. From there, he got on a boat that was headed to Tarshish. After a while, a storm came, and the men that Jonah were on the boat with were very worried. They started praying to all their gods and throwing cargo off the boat, but nothing seemed to help. Finally, they woke up Jonah in a hurry and said, "How could you be asleep?" Jonah, seeing the panic on their faces, knew what was happening, and he said, "Throw me off the boat and the storm shall stop." The men said, "Are you out of your mind? Is there any other way we can stop the storm?" Jonah said, "It is me God is angry with. Throw me off and the storm shall stop." So the men decided to listen to Jonah, and they said to their gods, "Please forgive us for throwing this man off into the water. How would you feel if you had to throw somebody who you just met into a bottomless pit of water in the middle of literally nowhere? Because I know I'd feel pretty bad." They listened and threw him in, and Jonah got swallowed by a whale. And he was in that whale for 3 days. During those 3 days in the whale, Jonah was asking and praying to God for forgiveness and grace. And God gave him the strength and courage he never had instead. After Jonah was released from the belly of the whale, he finally obeyed God's commands and went to Nineveh. There Jonah proclaimed God's message to the people, warning them about their wickedness and urging them to repent. Surprisingly, the people of Nineveh listened. They turned from their evil ways and sought out God's forgiveness. Because of Jonah's obedience and grace God showed him, the entire city was spared from destruction. Jonah's actions in Nineveh demonstrates how God's grace can bring out transformation even in the most unlikely places. After seeing the people of Nineveh repent and God choosing to forgive them, Jonah became deeply upset. He felt angry and disappointed because he wanted to see them punished for their actions, thinking they did not deserve mercy. Jonah struggled to accept that God's grace could reach even those who we considered unworthy. And he questioned why God would spare them instead of bringing judgment. This moment highlights how compassion is greater than human expectations, reminding us that forgiveness is available to all who turn to him. After Jonah was upset about God's mercy towards the people of Nineveh, he went outside and sat down, hoping to see what would happen next. God, in his kindness, caused a leafy plant to grow up beside Jonah, providing him with shade and relief from the harsh sun. However, the next day, God sent a worm that caused the plant to wither, leaving Jonah exposed to the heat and discomfort. Through this, God taught Jonah about compassion and reminded him that his grace extends to all, not just those we think deserve it. In his frustration, Jonah told God that he would rather die than witness the people of Nineveh be spared. He felt so overwhelmed by the disappointment and anger that he saw no value in going on, expressing his desire for God to take his life instead of allowing him to see Nineveh forgiven. In the end of the story of Jonah reminds us that God's grace knows no boundaries and his compassion reaches beyond our own understanding. Even when we feel unqualified or undeserving, God can use us for greater purposes, and his forgiveness is available to all who seek it. Jonah's journey teaches us to embrace mercy, trust in God, God's wisdom, and recognize that your light can shine brightest in the darkest places. Ultimately, we are called not only to accept God's grace for ourselves, but to extend it to others, no matter how unlikely it may seem. So here's the takeaway from today's message. God extends grace to us. God offers his grace to us even when, like Jonah, we choose to do the opposite and run from him. His grace follows us like it says in Psalms 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We do not deserve God's grace. We cannot earn his grace. Yet out of abundance and love, he gives us his grace. God's grace towards us gives the liberty to extend it to others. We can truly appreciate the grace of God when we show others his grace through us. I can show grace to people around me by being patient, forgiving mistakes, and offering kindness when it is not deserved. Listening with empathy, speaking with gentleness, and helping others without expecting anything in return. Small acts of understanding and compassion can make a big difference in every day. We achieve excellence by understanding and living in his grace. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You don't have to be perfect. God's grace works perfectly in you. Let me say that one more time. You don't have to be perfect. God's grace works perfectly in you. Think about it. What better way to let someone know the love of God than to show that if God can forgive me and love me, how much more will he love you? As we reflect on these truths, I wish to express my heartfelt gratitude for your attentive presence and openness with which you have embraced today's message. Thank you for journeying together in spirit and contemplation And may the grace of God, may the grace we have discussed continue to inspire and uplift each of us in the days ahead. If you would like to live in God's grace and show his grace to others, please stand with me as I ask Elder Skeen to cover us in prayer.
Praise the Lord. Permit me to just thank Zion for the way in which she allowed herself to be used by God. What do you say? Oh, it was a job well done, Zion. Continue to minister for our soon coming King, Lord and Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Mighty God, we thank you for what had transpired here so far. We celebrate the fact that you have been good to us. You have been good to this school. You have been good to these students. You have been good to the teachers. You have been good to the faculty staff. Mighty God, we celebrate what you have done. And as we sat and listened to this message reminding us about your grace, oh, excellent it is, O Father God. We pray wholeheartedly for the messenger that you have chosen to deliver this message. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless her. You will bless her parents. You will bless, O God, that everything that she touches in life will be excellent, Almighty God. We pray for our mates, O Father, continue to touch their brain cells, that as they continue pushing forward within their education, O Father, they will turn out to be the person that you want them to be. They will turn out to be doctors, lawyers, teachers, preachers, pastors, you name it, Almighty God. And Father, we pray that as they celebrate with us, as they minister with us today, we pray, Almighty God, that when time and this earth shall be no more, all our teachers, all our students, along with Zion, all of us who have made ourselves present here today, our friends who are watching via YouTube, all of us, Almighty God, we would have done what we had to do, and we will be a part of the saints that will go in marching. Until then, we pray, O Father, that you will allow your holy will to be done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and let everybody say amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated.